meeting with a number of our public health officials as well as cabinet to address some issues in the state. I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Smith, Secretary of Health, as well as our Surgeon General, Greg Bledsoe, and our Secretary of Education. And then also Senator Missy Irvin is here, who's been helpful to us as we have covered a few issues previous to this as well. I first want to say that since yesterday, we have three new cases that have been tested presumptive positive in Arkansas. Two of those in reference to a couple that had been traveling, and then the other one is of unknown origin. There's no travel history, and that is of concern. I see Dr. Patterson here, and I know that he's dealt with this and communicated on this as well. These are in central Arkansas, and so it is in the same geographic area, and that should be emphasized. Secondly, in order to put this in perspective, we have about 20 cases per day that are submitted to the Department of Health for testing. 17 of those came back negative. And then we have the private sector testing as well that the Department of Health has access to, and so we've had three negative tests from LabCorp. So it's important for the public to understand that we're more broadly testing and not every test is confirmed presumptive positive. I want to cover a couple of other points here that are very important for the public to understand. First of all, in terms of personal protective equipment, we have a set of inventory that's within the Department of Health, and we expect that to be expanded dramatically next week. Within 7 days, we should have an additional 28,000 N95 masks and respirators, 66,000 additional surgical masks, as well as other equipment that will be coming in. And so that has been on order. It should be here next week, and so we're not a shortage of that in terms, it's a matter of allocating that out then to our healthcare community. In terms of UAMS, I'm delighted that they put on order testing equipment that can be expand our testing capability in Arkansas, and that has received priority, and we're hopeful that that will be soon online as well. In terms of our large gatherings here in Arkansas, the mayor, and I talked to him earlier today. I'm not sure whether he's here. I think he's going to be dropping in a little bit later. But Mayor Scott announced his recommendation that in Little Rock there would be no larger gatherings than 200 people. And I want to extend his recommendation and join in that recommendation to the four-county area that we covered yesterday for school closings. And so that would be the four central Arkansas counties that would include Pulaski, Jefferson, Saline, and Grant counties. And beyond that in the state, I expect people to make good judgments, but there has not been those confirmed cases in the other geographic regions of the state. I have spent quite a bit of time talking with my cabinet, but particularly to Dr. Smith, about staff resources. And I've asked him, what do you need? Whatever you need, let us know. We'll get it for you. And one request that was made is they need new lab positions. And so I've authorized 10 additional lab positions to be filled immediately here within the Department of Health and their testing lab to move the throughput through quicker in our testing procedures. We have a call center need. Right now, there's over 800 calls that are backed up at our call center. Now, this is unacceptable because you've got the public that's calling in asking for answers to questions. And so we're moving resources to the call center as well as additional equipment. We do believe this is simply a surge, but we want to make sure that we do the best we can to be able to answer the public in their inquiries. I do want to address the schools, and then Secretary Key will talk about this as well. There's a great deal of conversation going on around the state about, well, should schools be closed, particularly whenever we've seen some of our higher education going into distance learning. And I've tried to listen to the healthcare professionals, particularly the CDC guidance. And the CDC made clarity on their guidance on school closings yesterday, and we've reviewed that. And I think it helps guide us in the state, and I encourage school officials to read that guidance. It gives them an understanding of how this might impact their schools. And without reading in its entirety, it says that available modeling data indicate that early, short, to medium closures do not impact the curve of COVID-19 or available healthcare measures. They are not recommending school closures. If there was a confirmed case or a positive, then you would want to close the school long enough to have cleansing and some deep cleaning of the school, and then it can be reopened. But that's a short-term remedy, and it doesn't apply broadly statewide. They cite instances where schools have been closed, and it hasn't indicated that that has made any difference in the outcomes. And they go on to point out that they're not advising schools to be closed because it not only does not add to the health of the students and the community, but it disrupts the ability of healthcare workers to do their work because they have children that they have to worry about. It disrupts the delivery of food for food insecure families through the school services and on, as well as the productivity of workers that depend upon that regularity. Serious issue, as I mentioned yesterday, and CDC is not recommending that broadly unless there is a confirmed case in the area. And then I want to, I've issued an emergency public health order 2 days ago. I'll be amending it again today, and this is I'll be amending it from time to time as we see additional needs and urgent matters that need to be addressed. And so this afternoon I'll issue an amended emergency order that enhances the ability to carry out telehealth in Arkansas, which means that physicians can talk to their patients and establish Arkansas physicians can establish a patient relationship over the telephone during this emergency time. Obviously, when they're calling their physician or a doctor and say, I've got symptoms, what do I do? We want the doctor to feel comfortable in giving counsel and advice and establishing that patient relationship. It's also important in the mental health area. I don't expect mental health professionals, they might not be meeting face-to-face. They need to have the ability in this urgent time to be able to communicate by telephone and to carry out their responsibilities in their profession. Now I see the mayor, and Mayor, I did reference your leadership here in this city, and that we're expanding your recommendations to a 4-county area in terms of large-scale gatherings. With that, I'd like to ask Dr. Smith to make comments, followed by Secretary. Oh, sorry, Nate.
Thank you again for being here, and thank you, Governor, for your leadership in this and the support that you've given to the Department of Health and to the other agencies of the state. By way of update, as the Governor has mentioned, we've had 3 new positive tests. The case that is at most concern is the one where we don't have a linkage to an out-of-state exposure or to a known case, and that suggests the likelihood of transmission within the Little Rock community. And what the Governor has suggested in terms of avoiding large gatherings, which the mayor and his team had already put into place, we would extend that to the larger 4-county area. The issue of social distancing, trying to avoid unnecessary gatherings, especially for those who are older or who have underlying medical conditions, trying to avoid contact with sick individuals, but also with larger gatherings. At this time, we don't have evidence of community transmission outside of this area and other parts of the state, but we're continuing to situation very carefully. We'll continue to test and evaluate and give updates. As you know, this is a very dynamic situation. It was just Tuesday when we found our first case, and so we'll continue to keep you informed.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Dr. Smith. So the Department of Education obviously has been receiving a lot of phone calls from school leaders and superintendents around the state. But now, given the clarity of the CDC recommendations, what we know is that schools are the safest places in the state for most of our students. And the services that they receive there, not only the educational opportunities, but the meal services that go on, are very important. And we want to keep that access open as long as we possibly can. So given the CDC recommendations, we are continuing to monitor, but it is important that we keep our schools open, and obviously we are going to be in contact with superintendents should their conditions change, should their information change, and we'll be responding accordingly. In the meantime, we are asking them to make preparations. It is also prudent, even though we want to keep schools open, it is prudent for them to make preparations with respect to meal services, to other services that might be necessary, to keep plans in place for how they deal with the most vulnerable students, looking at their capacity to do online or digital delivery. All of those things are areas in which we are continuing to support our schools and ask for their continued diligence in planning.
I would just add to what Dr. Smith said. There's an issue going around as far as testing is concerned in the state of Arkansas. It is true that the Department of Health has limited testing at this point. The Department of Health has said they have about 20 tests they can do per day. However, I want physicians and nurses around the state to realize that you can order the test right now. Anywhere in the state, if you have a patient that you believe might have the coronavirus, you can do the swab, order the test, and send it to one of the commercial labs, either Quest or LabCorp, to get that test completed. This is really important. We've had a lot of clinicians that have had a lot of concern about this, and a lot of patients and patient families that have had concern about this. What we're asking the people of Arkansas to do, though, is to realize that there are 3 million people in the state of Arkansas. Obviously, if everyone decides they need a coronavirus test, that's going to overwhelm any lab. So please be discerning in your request for lab testing. We recommend that you call your primary care physician and have a discussion first, but certainly the Department of Health is available to answer any questions as needed. But the end result is that we do have the ability to test patients in the state of Arkansas, and so those around the state who have concerns about maybe being exposed or having coronavirus can get tested.
And I want to express my thanks to Dr. Smith. He's doing yeoman work under very difficult circumstances, and all of his team, and Dr. Bledsoe as well. With that, I'll turn it over to any questions. Yes, ma'am.
About the testing, I thought that in order to take the specimens, you needed some kind of special protective gear when you're with the patient. And so if you can order the tests, if your doctor doesn't have the gear, how does that work?
That is correct. It's recommended that if you suspect someone has COVID-19, that you want to protect the person who's seeing that individual as well as collecting the specimen. The specimen is not difficult to collect. Currently, the CDC is just recommending a nasopharyngeal swab, just a swab in the back of the nose. But if you're seeing someone who's suspected of having COVID-19, that healthcare worker has to protect himself or herself. That requires that they have some level of personal protective equipment, gown, glove, preferably an N95 mask, and a face shield. As we go along, we may get guidance from the CDC that allows us to streamline that a little bit, but that's where we are at this point. And the issue of PPE, personal protective equipment, is a challenge that's most usually available in higher level health centers like hospitals, but UAMS is going to be expanding some of those services, and hopefully we'll have other providers who follow suit so that it's easier to get access to those tests.
So do you understand that to take a specimen, you do need to have
Well, if you're having face-to-face contact with someone who's suspected of having COVID-19, then that's not any different than what's recommended for clinical care for that patient.
You yourself cannot order a test and administer it to yourself and send it to the lab.
I'm not sure.
The public is not able to buy it, to test themselves. And send it
no, not at this point. We've tested approximately 70 as of this morning.
I mean, overall, including negatives
and positives. Right, approximately 70. Now there are 70. Now there are other tests that have been done through private labs. We get those results, but there's a turnaround time on that, which could be 4 or 5 days, perhaps even longer. We've gotten three so far from LabCorp results back, and of course, all negative.
In concern to having the gear, what about the cost? What's the governor? Are you all trying to assess difficulties in people being able to afford the test? Or
we're doing everything we can to assure that the insurance companies waive the deductibility. That cost should not be an issue for the test. I think that message has come from the president through the insurance companies, and it's coming from the state as well. The cost of the test should not be an issue. If the doctor says that's needed, don't worry about it. That's going to be waived or covered by insurance or waived on the deductibility. Yes?
Yesterday you mentioned that you have a lot of faith in the private sector for canceling these events. We saw the Catholic Diocese go ahead and cancel services right now, but there's still a lot of churches that are planning to continue on regular services this Sunday in the metro area, and we have a concert tonight, a Toby Mac concert, that's still expected to go. Is that faith still continuing, or are you giving more guidance to them to consider canceling services?
I think people have made really good judgments. You've had every large event that I'm aware of canceled out of safety concerns and out of the recommendation from the mayor. And so I think they're making very good judgments. Now, when it comes to church, you're going to see some churches that are going to cancel services because they have large crowds. They don't want to take risks. They might have an elderly congregation. But you're going to have some other churches that are going to be creative. They're going to practice social distancing, that they're going to make sure that they're protected in other ways. So let's let the churches make their judgments. I've told people I heard a very creative church service where a pastor is going to have everybody drive to church and listen to the church service on the radio because they're going to broadcast on the internet, and they're going to have a hay wagon there where he's going to preach from, and that way they can take up a collection. I fully expect, in a serious vein, that people will be responsible in that fashion and make good judgments.
In terms of the testing, for people who don't have insurance, the Community Health Center Association has asked for the state to pay for the testing for people who don't have insurance. Is that something that you would consider, or what about people who don't have insurance?
Well, if they don't have insurance, they may have Medicaid coverage, and so Medicaid will cover it, and any deductible, any co-share can be waived on that. You can see the volume of cases we've had, and it's not an issue. And so the simple message is to the public, don't worry about the cost of a test. Sure, we'll ask for insurance, we'll ask for whether you have Medicaid coverage, but beyond that, they can have that test done, and that's not going to be an issue.
What are the condition of those three patients? Are they in the hospital, in isolation? Are they at home?
We have two outpatients and one inpatient.
How long is that recommendation of the gatherings for?
That's for the next 60 days, which I think is a... Excuse me. The schools were closed for 2 weeks. I think that can be reevaluated down the road in a couple of weeks. But that is probably going to be in place for some time, even though I think we need to immediately look at it at least for the next 2 weeks.
Is there a point where that large gathering recommendation becomes a directive?
Sure, there's always that possibility, but quite frankly, of course, I said the four-county area, but we have a service for a police officer memorial service in Hot Springs next week. I expect more than 200 people there, and I expect them to take the appropriate precautions, but, you know, that's the decision that they will make. It's outside of that four-county area, and so I think you just have to be careful about making broad pronouncements whenever people are acting responsibly. Give them information, and they're going to make good judgments.
Governor, you mentioned the call center, just inundated with calls right now. Can you specifically tell me kind of what resources you're directing that way, and whether or not some of those resources can be just education within the physicians? We've gotten a lot of calls from viewers who their physicians are like, oh, I don't know, call the health department, and that's their first directive.
I hope that the physicians, and I'm sure that they are being brought up to speed very quickly, so that they can give good counsel and on symptoms. But people call the health department, and you ask what resources we're putting there. Dr. Smith, I believe, asked for 20 new individuals that will be able to man the phones. And so I've asked Department of Human Services that has call centers, that have people that are trained to handle calls, to move those over very quickly so that we can beef up that. Now, that's not necessarily a trained physician, but they need answers quickly, and they can triage those to make sure they get that to the right healthcare provider and get the right information to them. Do you have anything to add to that?
Also, just a reminder of Chancellor Patterson had announced the UAMS call line as well.
These three new patients, where did they go to get tested? Was it the ER, the doctor?
Go ahead.
Well, the inpatient, of course, was tested as an inpatient, and the others were tested as outpatients.
So does that mean we have two inpatients to total?
What's that, a general question?
That's correct.
I think yours might have been a more general question as to where someone would go to get testing.
Yeah, like did they walk into the ER?
No, that's what's very, very important, is that they don't just walk into the ER, because if they're symptomatic, then that's going to expose a lot of people. And so many of the ER rooms and the hospitals have put signs in their doors, if you believe that you're symptomatic, you need to make a phone call. And so everybody who believes that they need to have a test, or they wonder about their symptoms, call your physician, call the hospital, don't just walk in the door. And that's where they can give them advice on where to go for the test and what they need to do.
Commissioner Key, we've decided that 2 weeks is the time period. Is that going to be evaluated at the end of the 2 weeks and possibly extended? And if so, are there enough AMI lessons in place to accommodate that?
Yeah, so the reason it's 2 weeks is because one of those weeks is spring break. So if you look at the CDC guidance, we're very much in line with their guidance. They said if you do have a case of a presumptive confirmation, then presumptive case, then a 2 to 4 day period of time for closure, for sterilizing, cleaning, sanitizing the whole thing, that is in order. If you look at the call that we made, it's 6 days today, all of next week, and then because of the impact of spring break, it ends up being over 2 weeks. It will be reevaluated, obviously, as you have heard today, because this changes so rapidly. We will reevaluate as we get toward the end of, I think, of even next week, we'll have a better idea of what it could look like. AMI days, so the department automatically extended from 5 days to 10 days the approval of every district that had submitted an AMI plan. Districts that had not submitted an AMI plan, we reopened the window and gave them until May 1st to submit an AMI plan for this school year. So they will have those 10 days. Under the statute, that's the limit. Obviously, we're working with them to make sure that their lessons are quality lessons. As a matter of fact, one of my colleagues just told me that she felt like she was in school because she's gotten 3 emails about her students' AMI assignments. So we have some districts that have very robust plans, and we're helping the other districts around the state to have robust lessons as well. Again, acting prudently to make sure that we're prepared in the case of additional closures down the road.
We have one last question. I was thinking you had one, ma'am, but did you? No. All right, right here.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did have one last question.
All right, I thought I saw it a minute ago. All right, we'll come back to you. Only as needed. I don't necessarily expect that, and I hope that's not necessary. What we're trying to accomplish is effective communication to the public, giving them the truth, giving them information to make good decisions. So that's why we're here. And I expect that as long as necessary, Dr. Smith will be doing that. I will join these as needed, and because I want to be able to make sure the public knows that we're providing the resources that are needed and that we're coordinating as a whole of a state government to address this, and in partnership with you know, our cities and our healthcare institutions. Yes, sir.
This will be for your directed key. Is there any preliminary conversations about shifting state testing dates or dealing with any of that?
But he's ready to get up.
I'm ready. Jay, we've been looking at that. So, yes, we can adjust the testing window if that is something that becomes necessary. We have been in contact with ACT Aspire on what that would mean. That might mean a delay in getting the results back, usually by July 1. At this point, that's not the priority. The priority is, can we extend, and yes, that is an option. We're looking at all options with respect to the state testing requirements.
Just real quick, the Trump administration is supposed to be announcing a national emergency. Are there any actions the state will be able to, is planning to take with the flexibility it would have under the national emergency?
We have broad authority as a state under my emergency order. So I expect the President's declaration to be looking at it more from a national perspective. I think we'll all wait and see what he has to say. I will be on visiting with the Vice President next Monday. We do that regularly, and so we'll be able to follow up if there's any thing that comes out of the national declaration today that might benefit Arkansas or we need to tap into. I'll raise that with the Vice President on Monday. Thank you very much.